Welcome to Facilitating the Mission. In this episode, we'll finish up our interview with Brian Mondock. We've been listening to the story of the Mondocks navigating through major family crisis while planning to go to the mission field.
And at the time, Susan was living in the hospital. I was actually having to travel back and forth to Florida because I still had my job there. We had the house. Right. My son, who was just getting out of high school, was still there. You know, so I had to do some traveling. And Susan lived in the ICU. And then once Allie got out of ICU, living in the hospital with her for 8 weeks till Allie was, they felt like she was good enough to go home. But it was in that time that what turned the tides for us was that they were very, very inclusive at the hospital and the city in this situation. They built this committee of like, okay, what's going to be the plan for Allie? And they had, you know, they had law enforcement, they had city officials, they had medical officials, they had us, they had this coalition that was just going to plan what would be Allie's next steps. And the hospital, the staff became a huge advocates for us. And then the city of San Francisco became a huge advocate for us. And they assigned us a certain social worker that was known for, like, if you became the social worker's case, that meant you had the golden seal of approval from the city of San Francisco. And that guy walked your situation through the courts. And that's what happened with us, is our whole situation got hand walked through the courts by this city representative that knew how all the lawyers worked. He just knew the system inside and out. He knew how the district attorney's office worked, who was also part of this coalition. Right. And so they hand walked our thing through, and then we adopted her. But now, so we're getting released from the hospital. We're driving up to Northern California, north of San Francisco, up into Humboldt County. That's where I'm from. That's where my sister lives, by the way. And so because this event happened in California, Allie had to stay in California until we legally adopted her, which was going to take a couple of years. So we were driving up to Humboldt to take Allie home, or to take her to my sister's to start our new, like, situation. But we had no idea what our situation was beyond living at my sister's house. And you called me that day. And you said, hey, we're going to start this new thing at Shepherd Staff. And you really seemed to be the guy that, you know, would really play this role. It was on that trip, leaving the hospital, that you said, you know, we want you to be the, we're going to set up regional mission pastors, and we want you to be one since you're here on the West Coast now. Or I guess that was the thing. And I'm like, here, you know, I got a crying kid in the car. Let's talk about this when I get up there. I'm interested. Yeah. And that's, I ended up going back into missionary status with Shepherd Staff for 5 years.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So when you were in the midst of it, I mean, in the midst of the tragedy, you mentioned the care that you were getting from your home church and just how things unfolded with the nursing staff there and everything. I mean, clearly the grace of God was flowing in the midst of the chaos and tragedy, right? And you you could understand it at the time, right? I mean, you were perceiving it?
God was providing for us. That was something that we acknowledged. Mm-hmm. I had zero warm, fuzzy feelings about anything.
Right.
I mean, we were in major crisis. When Allie, you know, when she came out of that coma, she cried nonstop 24/7. I mean, not 24/7, but every waking moment.
She was not sleeping. She was crying. Yeah.
And then we had to, like get her to sleep. And my wife talks about that in this documentary that my son put together. I mean, this is, you know, if this story is intriguing to you, definitely a lot of these blanks are filled in. My wife does an amazing job talking about it. Yes, to answer the question, the Lord was totally in control. We knew he cared for us. We knew we were being cared for. But because we were in crisis, because we were traumatized, Jeff, I mean, I'm sure that we were experienced post-traumatic stress disorder. We were traumatized. And so I mean, it was really hard to appreciate right. what the Lord was, the good things that the Lord was doing, just because we just never got a break from the emotional strain. And just no answers about, we had no idea where our lives were going, how this all was going to work out. You know, I mean, God was starting to bring things into right. focus, but the focus was so fuzzy. I mean, it's like when you first look through a telescope and you have to focus it. And, you know, it's like when you first look at it, it's just clouds. Mm. It's just mm-hmm. fog. And that's where we were at the time. It's like the Lord was walking right. with us, but it's like we're screaming at him. Why right. would you let us walk? Yeah. We were beside ourselves. I have the best life partner, and we have this foundation of walking with the Lord. But I'll tell you, man, I've never been more confused, more misunderstood how the Lord worked at that time. Cause I thought I had all the right. answers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought I had the right theology. I thought right. I had the right, I thought I was practicing things the right way. Anyway.
Yeah. And so was that disconcerting to you? I mean, cause you know, with sort of the event that happened to me, which we can get into at some other point, you know, you have, before a crisis event happens, you have this picture in your mind of your theology squared away, and you have sort of this image of how you would respond if you were in that situation. And then you find yourself in that situation and you're not at all responding the way that you envisioned that you would. And you're asking questions like you never thought you'd ask. I mean, is that kind of what you were feeling too?
Yeah. I mean, everything changed, everything. I knew nothing. And that's the thing. That's the best lesson I learned in that situation. I know nothing. The theology does not equal faith. Theology does not equal right relationship. I was being squeezed so hard that everything that was inside of me I was turned inside out. So it was on yes. the inside of me. It was now exposed to the outside, and I did not like it. And I did not like it.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, man, that's as transparent
yeah,
as I can
yeah,
be
no,
right now.
No, and I appreciate that. Anybody that's been there will, you know, if they'll be honest, they're going to be saying the same things. So were you, how long then did you, so she got out of the hospital, you guys moved to your sister's in Humboldt. I do remember you were able to do some traveling and stuff for the ministry as you got sort of fell into a rhythm of life there. And then what moved you away from there then? What were the circumstances that led you away from there back to Florida?
There was a couple of them. The Shepherd staff model was changing a little bit. We actually grew the organization. We started to serve a bunch of missionaries. I mean, in that season, right. in that first year, we started to really, really grow. And so that was when Pat got involved right. and he became, and we were thinking that maybe moving back to Florida, Allie was going to, the adoption was finalizing. We figured, man, our network has been in Florida for 20 years. I might be from Humboldt, but right. I lived, you know, as part of Calvary Chapel Fort Lauderdale and the sister churches that came out of that church, you know, church plants mm-hmm. out of that was my network. And so it just made more sense to us, Shepherd staff, my pastors, to move our family, to move back out to Florida. And so that's what we did. And Allie was small, and she started to, you know, there was some things where her brain, you know, she was starting to get better. I mean, it was still crazy right. amount of work. And, you know, I was very fortunate to have a job like Shepherd staff where I could be mm-hmm. remote and do the marketing things I did for them, do the training things I did for them, you know, via phone and, you know, just, you know, going to conferences every, you know, 60 to 90 mm-hmm. days, you know, where we had our, you know, made our presence right. known and stuff like that. That was a good fit for me right. at the time. My son and daughter, you know, helped me pack up and helped me move back to Florida. And then my, my home church in Northern Palm Beach County. And, you know, they had a moving crew when we arrived, and we moved, helped us move into a condo that we were renting. And then I started, you know, doing stuff with Shepherd Staff from, you know, South Florida for a few more years. And that was a good fit. And I was able to travel because Allie was small right. enough that my wife could handle it. And we had some real hands-on
right.
help from family and stuff. And, it just made sense to do that. When we lived in Humboldt, you know, it's 6 hours away from San Francisco, and there's a lot of doctors that we just didn't have, that we had to travel to go to. And Allie did not travel well on 101 and, you know, going through the Redwoods and stuff. It was such a windy road that was not a good experience when we had to go to a neurologist or do some of the other kinds of things where, you know, for doctors that were unavailable because of the right. remoteness of Humboldt County. And so moving to South Florida, they had some good hospitals and stuff, and just all that made sense. And just, again, we could just see the sovereignty of the Lord, you know, opening doors for us to be there. And then also, man, we just started serving a lot more South Florida missionaries because of the network I had down there. It just made sense for me to be based there and have that Shep Staff representation right. down there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So just sort of to kind of wrap this up, you know, again, within the paradigm that Shepherd Staff navigates in, I mean, it's kind of like your situation reminds me of, I don't know if you're familiar at all with a guy named J. Oswald Smith, who had the People's Church in Toronto. And I've sort of related to this guy, but he had a heart. He was this Canadian pastor, was this mega church back in the day. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong on this, and some of you missions historians that are listening might correct me, but I think the People's Church in Toronto was the first Christian church with $1 million global missions budget, if I remember. And so anyway, but the thing that made him what he was and the global influence he had is he wanted to be a missionary, and he had some sort of physical condition that kept him from actually moving to another country. He spent some time out in Western Canada, like in the remote areas, you know, the forests and stuff with, I think, some of the indigenous people up there, but he just had some health condition that kept him from actually being able to relocate. And I remember reading a book, you know, about him years ago where he talked about, you know, just this conscious awareness that God kept him from doing what he really wanted to do to have a greater influence globally by not going, you might say. And I mean, is that kind of where, you know, as you sort of been able to maybe take a step back and analyze this, because I know your heart for the nations, your engagement, your, you know, your ability to encourage, all the gifts he's given you with communications and writing and blah, 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 all these things, you've harnessed all these things for God's glory among the nations. I mean, are you seeing something like that? Like, you know, you're more strategic for the cause?
Yeah, I see that my role is not at one place as much as I would. And I'm telling you, when I can't emphasize enough is I wanted to be on the field. I wanted to be on the field and be with the people that got, you know, in both in the Middle East and when I was in Africa. And then after that, as a missions pastor, I traveled, I took teams all over right. the place. And like every place, I was like, I loved the people that we were ministering to. And somehow I had more chemistry with the people that we were ministering to in an international setting than I do in my own right. neighborhood. I mean, I really, really do. I speak better. The opportunities I've had to address crowds have always been large overseas. Mm-hmm. But at home, it's like, I mean, I stumble over my words. It's like, I always felt like I was built for that. But at the same time, it's like, no, the Lord has me as a behind the scenes yeah. guy doing this. And this is what I do, you know, more than 40 or 50 hours a week. It's all support right. for international right. efforts. That's right. all I do. That's all I've done. And it's because of this season, right. okay, where I was working as a missionary, raising support you know, I started running your website. Yeah. I started, you know, connecting in social media. Even before that, that's become like how I make a living now, you know, and it's like, you know, how I support my family. Right. And it's become a real, it's become like a thing that I never could have trained for it when I was a young man, because what I do now in digital communications did not exist the way it exists now. And, you know, so it's just, I mean, the Lord brought me on this path through all of this to where I am. I mean, he has been sovereign and it has been bumpy, but I look back now with obviously I wish this didn't happen to Allie, but I look back now and the Lord has walked all the way through this with us. And, you know, we liken ourselves to the children of Israel who wandered through the wilderness, that whose shoes never wore out.
Great analogy. Yeah.
You know, that's how we feel. We feel like the Lord has cared for us over the past decade plus of us taking care of Allie. I mean, we've had no windfall. I'm not making a ton of cash, but like, it's like little opportunity after little, you know, like the house we're in. We live in this great house and we got for a great price. And we just like, nobody could do this but you, Lord, you know, and he's totally taken care of us through this. I'm not saying it's been easy. I'm not saying that I haven't had to grow, because I've had to grow. I've had to humble myself. Like, I've never, you know, I don't feel like I should have ever had to humble myself. But, I mean, he's totally, totally walked through it. And we look back and we say, wow, God, you've really taken care of us. And so that helps us look forward saying, God, you're really going to take care of us.
So one last question, and then we can wrap this up. Is there, and not to put you too much on the spot, but is there a specific verse or a few verses that have just really been driven deeply into your hearts and minds in the midst of all this or through all this?
Yeah, for me, it's the Lord's Prayer.
From what angle?
Okay, so it's from Thy Kingdom Come, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. You know, during that season, I had to, you know, I was like just crazy, like, God, why would you do this? Don't you see that this is just a child? I mean, literally screaming that at God one day when there was a little event that happened and, you know, I got tangled up in Allie's like feeding tube and it almost pulled it out of her stomach and she's screaming and I'm screaming, God, why are you letting this happen?
Yeah.
And I felt like I heard the Lord's voice to say, who's in charge here? And it's just like, well, you're in charge of this, God. He goes, so start living like it. And that's my interpretation of, you know, Thy Kingdom Come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Start living like I'm in charge of your life.
And how does that look different? When you have that mindset,
it's like instead of me thinking that I have the right theology, all the right answers to faith, I know why stuff happens to other people, because you know there's this sense of me being in charge because I have all these answers to everything. Now I don't have the answers to everything. God's in charge of my moment to moment. All right. And so I'm living moment to moment as a conduit for God to invade this planet.
Love that. Yeah.
And that's the only way. It's like I know God is sovereign and he's everywhere, but he's chosen to invade this place through his people. You know, and it's almost like science fiction, Jeff, like we are the doors for God to get through into this place. That's the best way I can put it. And I really believe, and you know something, it's like, it's hard for me to listen to theology now that doesn't involve that kind of thinking, because everybody's like, you have to have the right opinion about the Bible. You have to have the right. And yes, there is that, but we don't have all the, nuances and the answers to all those things as much as we think we do. That's why Jesus says you have to depend on what we need from God day by day. And so that's how we live now. And I make, instead of like having answers, like a list of answers and a list of right theology, I have a list of things I'm thankful for. That's it. That's the only list I have. And if I'm not working from that list, and if I'm not thankful for something, I am a total idiot. I'm a jerk. I'm impossible to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. Deep stuff, man, but relevant, really relevant. Wow. Well, hey, thanks for letting us sort of unpack a lot of your personal life and backstory. And I think especially from the angle of, you know, when this happened, this, everything else has to go to the sidelines. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's everything right about that. And even in the video, how you kind of, I think it's near the end, you talk about, you know, God picked you for this.
Yeah. You cannot believe
that is what resonates with people.
Oh my gosh, that has so resonated with people.
And that mindset.
I'm just winging it.
But it changes everything. That mindset changes. Somebody else has determined what my role and my purpose is and what I'm going to do next. And you know, I try to make this plain to people that have never been in the military, but when you swear in, you're basically giving somebody else the right to tell you where you're most needed. And that has the power to get you there and make you go there and suffer the consequences if you don't. And there's a freedom in that that is just, amazing. So, deep stuff. We need to talk about that sometime too, that angle. But really good, man. This is exactly what I'm looking for, Brian.
Yeah, cool. I'm glad it's relevant to what we're talking about.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. To learn more about becoming a missionary with Shepherd Staff, go to ssmfi.org/join. Connect with us on Facebook or Twitter by searching @ShepStaff on either platform.